welcome to everyone this evening, and especially if you're a guest with us tonight. We're so glad to have you in service with us this evening. Thank you for being here. And those of you that may be joining us online tonight, we welcome you as a part of this service as well. And I want to mention one more thing. I meant to mention it during the announcements, but coming up in a couple of weeks, anybody from the minister's session remember what Jalen said that date was? March 1st? Was it Friday, March 1st? I think it's a Friday. Friday, March 1st, our newly elected global missions director for the United Pentecostal Church International is going to be ministering in Haverty Grace, Bethel in Haverty Grace, and just going to be a night of sort of challenge, vision, missions, giving, etc. But we'll get some more info out. But I just wanted to mention that. I would really encourage you, if you're able, to try to make that, to go. Brother, our new global missions director, Brother Hunley, served for a number of years as a missionary in Access Challenge Nations. That's countries where they don't endorse and support you spreading the gospel. And he's now the new global missions director. And so I believe you'd be blessed by that service. So if you're able to, I would encourage you to try to be there for that. Amen. Acts chapter 6. We will begin reading with verse number 1. And I know for a bunch of you, these will be some familiar verses. These are some of the verses that get used oftentimes as some of the principles of why we have oikos, what we call oikos, and why that there's a need to have small group ministry in a church. But so we've heard these through the years at Antioch. But Acts 6 and 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Let me tell you something. If the apostles couldn't pastor a church that didn't complain, I might as well just accept. Not that there's ever complaining here, I'm just saying. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." I think I said it this morning. This is another one of those things that, can you imagine if this was said today, that there would be some serious material for social media. Preachers say they're too good to serve the widows. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples and said, "It's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you 7 men of honest report." I want you to notice what the requirements are to just serve tables. "Men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. You get the idea from verse 3 and from verse 6. There's something more significant going on here than just simply serving tables. If you need the Holy Ghost and wisdom and honest report, and then the disciples are laying their hands on you to do this job, there must be some importance and significance to this job. And what happened as a result of all of this is the word of God increased and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. I want to preach to you a little bit tonight on this subject, the ministry of the saints. The ministry of the saints. And let me just go ahead and give you the punchline. I'll give you the punchline and we're going to pray. And if the title and the punchline is enough, when we pray, we'll pray for at least 60 seconds. You can sneak out and go. But if you'd like to hear me elaborate, or hopefully Jesus elaborate on the punchline, stick around, please. At least I got one person that'll laugh at me. Thank you, Sister Sophie. The one person that does, one of the people that don't agree with me about Maryland. But that's okay. That's all right. Amen. Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you for this privilege to be in your presence tonight. Thank you for a work of your Spirit that has already been done. God, I know you've already done some things in some hearts and lives. I could see it, but more importantly, I could feel it, God. And I thank you for that. But I pray, God, you would continue to minister and work in this place tonight, that you would minister through your word. God, give us ears to hear tonight what you would say. I pray, God, that you would touch every heart, every mind, every spirit in this room right now, Lord, that there would be a release of faith in this place tonight to mix with your word, that we might be profited by it, Lord, in Jesus' name. I trust you and depend upon you again tonight. I trust you for your anointing, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. In 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 15, Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. And in essence, what Paul is saying there is that these people have gotten addicted to ministering to the saints. That's a pretty awesome thing. You're going to get addicted to something. I think that's something worth getting addicted to. The ministry of the saints. But that's not the context of what I mean tonight by the ministry of the saints. There, in essence, he's talking about the ministry to the saints. That these guys, or Stephanas, he was addicted to that. He was driven by it. But what I mean tonight when I say the ministry of the saints, in essence, really what I'm saying is the saints' ministry. So the punchline, I didn't give you the punchline, did I? So you couldn't leave. I'll give you the punchline, we'll pray again. The punchline tonight of the ministry of the saints is I pray that there would be a revelation that would come on this congregation tonight of the significance of the ministry of the saints. Or the significance of your ministry as a saint. Because when you read these verses and you read the ministry that resulted from these men, and in a lot of ways, this was ministry of the saints. These men, this is where we get the term deacons from. That's why we call our small group leaders deacons. That comes from what these men were that were anointed for this role of waiting tables, if you will. But there was way more that was going on in and through these guys' lives than just simply waiting tables. One of the most notable of this group is Stephen. And in Acts chapter 6 and verse number 8, it says, or verse 8, the next verse after where we stop, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Stephen, a deacon, a saint, as a part of the ministry of saints, he saw miracles and wonders among the people.
This isn't talking here about those 12 disciples that organized these men and ordained these men. It's talking about those who were anointed and sent forth. They were the ones. Stephen, as one of those, was saw great wonders and great miracles. Stephen. We have this impact in the church today and amongst apostolics that I guess to some degree it's worldly ways of thinking that work their way into the church, into the body. And if we're not careful, we get our eyes and we put importance on position, on title, on roles. And that's not to say there aren't some roles and positions and places in the kingdom that maybe they have a little more visibility or maybe there's a level of authority that goes with them more than some other roles, but that does not make them more important. When Paul talks about the physical body and compares it to the spiritual body, he talks about the fact that one part of the body can't say to another part of the body, I have no need of you. I may be the pastor here, but it'd be a pretty dull evening if none of you were here. Where'd my glasses go? Thank you. It'd be pretty rough this evening if all y'all weren't here. The flip side is, kind of be odd if all you were sitting there tonight like you are and wasn't nobody up here. You can't say one is more important than the other. But the challenge is, and I've been transparent through the years at times with my challenge in ministry and some of the carnal dreams, spiritual carnal dreams, if there's such a thing. I say spiritual carnal because they had to do with spiritual things, but they were really my natural desires. And things that somehow I felt like if I could do that or be that, it would validate me. I'm pretty sure I'm not the only individual in the world, even in this place tonight, that has struggled or may struggle with that. But what these 12 disciples appointed these men to do was not some kind of lesser or insignificant role. That when they said, we're going to give ourselves to prayer and fasting, it wasn't through them that all of these miracles and wonders were being done. I heard, brother, I was listening the other day to a message, Brother Reaver, a pastor in the Baltimore area, our district superintendent, preached recently. In fact, it was one of the first Sundays, I think, of this year. And he made, I don't know if it was original to him or not, but it was a great statement. He said that day football stadiums would be full of 70,000-plus people in the stands that needed exercise and 22 people on the field that needed rest. That ought not to be the case in the church. It should not be the minority on the field. There may be one person here tonight holding a mic preaching the message, but what happened in here about 15, 20 minutes ago was a result of the body being activated to minister to the body. And there were things that took place in this altar and throughout this sanctuary that are just as significant and important as the message I may be preaching tonight. Paul said in one place that we need to be careful not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. And that is absolutely the truth. But can I tell you my experience? during my ministry has been the majority of people, there have been a few that had a little higher opinion of themselves than they should have. But I'll tell you what I've encountered more than that is people who do not think highly enough of themselves. It still slips out every now and then. I acknowledge that. But I used to apologize almost every message about something. And by the help of the Lord and Sister Tyler and one or two other people, I knew if I apologized and Jesus didn't rebuke me, I needed to make sure I saw where Sister Tyler was, because I needed to go out the opposite side. I appreciate that. It was always in a loving, whatever, supportive, kind way. But she would let me know. Can I tell you one of the things that has brought me to the place of apologizing rarely? I didn't say never, I said rarely. Is sitting and being preached to, taught to, by someone who constantly apologizes. Because the more they do it, the more like, I'm thinking, well, why am I sitting here listening to you? If all you're going to do is put yourself down, and I don't know why I'm up here, and I don't know why they asked me, and I don't know why this and that, then why are we here? The bottom line, according to what Paul said, we all have something in common. We are all earthen vessels. And the excellency of the power is of God and not of us. I don't care if you got a suit and tie on tonight. I don't care if you got a nice dress on tonight. I don't care if you're in blue jeans and a t-shirt or in some casual clothes. The bottom line is, there I go, bottom line again. The bottom line for the third time in a row is, we are all nothing but a bunch of dirt dressed up. You may dress it up in name brand. You may dress it up in off brand. You may spray something that smells good. You may not have sprayed something that smells good on it. But we are just simply earthen vessels. The excellency of the power is of Him, and it's not of us. And so you know what? It's not us that's worthy, but we need to recognize I do have something inside of me. I do have a treasure that's been put on the inside of me. So when I play that false humility game, do you know how much stuff we think is humility that's really pride? Just pride. Hey, would you mind preaching? Would you mind leading a song? Oh, me? Oh, not me. I don't want to do that. I'm not. What you're saying is, you know, I'm afraid if I do it, I might mess up. Well, why are you afraid? Because that'll hurt your pride. We're all earthen vessels. It's the excellency of the power of God in us, and it's not of us. So these guys are not, they're not this waiting table. I know it said to wait tables, but there was so much more. What? You guys are going to pray and fast and study and read your Bibles. And you're going to do miracles. You're going to see some great wonders. How about this? We go to Acts 8, and this one's mentioned. And again, if you just to make sure you're on the same page with this, there is a Philip that was one of the disciples, one of the apostles, and then there's this Philip. They're not the same. This Philip here is different than the Philip there. You know what? Guess what the name Philip means? According to Hitchcock Bible names, and it's the only reference I found that says this, the name Philip means warlike. Wow, that's powerful, isn't it? That's awesome. But do you know what? The other definition here is, and pretty much all the other places, Bible sources in the Bible study program that I use, you know what all of the rest of them define Philip as? The name Philip means, are you ready? It's going to knock you off your seat. A lover of horses. I know some of y'all were ready. A lover of people. A lover of horses. There's some other names in the Bible that have some really profound meanings. But Philip was a lover of horses. Anointed, commissioned to be a deacon. And watch this in Acts 8 and 5. Watch what happens with the lover of horses. Philip went down to the city of Samaria. Philip. Not Peter, not James, not John, not Paul. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Okay, all right, well, that's great, but okay. But listen to this. The people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Not the 12 disciples that commissioned him. It's the miracles that the lover of horses did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. To whom they all gave heed, from the last to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God, speaking of Simon the sorcerer. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorcery. Verse 12 says this, but Philip, because of this issue with Simon, called for Peter and James and John and all the heavy hitters to come to Samaria, right? You know what? You know what it says? No. When they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon, that sorcerer, that problem, that man that all of these people had high regard for, then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Philip, just a deacon. Just one of those doing the ministry of the saints. The ministry of the saints is not a second class position. It's not an inferior role. You've been called. If you're not called into the one of the fivefold giftings, one of the fivefold offices, or whatever term you want to use, if you're not called into one of those, if you're not called to stand behind a pulpit and preach, if you're not called to something like that, if you're not called to be a missionary overseas, or you're not called to be a church planter, or whatever other, an evangelist that travels and preaches in churches all over the place, if you're not called to be one of those things, you're not called to a lesser role. Philip, Stephen, those are the ones that were doing mighty works, mighty miracles, seeing great signs and wonders. Wasn't those 12 disciples that were doing the appointing? It wasn't the 12 disciples that were doing all the fasting and praying. Why do you want to settle for a seat in the stands when you've been invited to be a player on the field? If you give me the option of sitting and watching sports versus the option of playing something, there ain't no question. You can have the sitting and watching all you want to. It is not the same as being in the game and experiencing what is going on. How many of you got the Holy Ghost tonight? That's not a trick question. I don't know how you make that one a trick question. Some of you are like, I don't know. Well, that's another issue. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you've got an invitation to something significant. And I touched on some things in the licensed minister. We started a monthly licensed ministers meeting, and this one today was the first one. And I touched on some stuff a little bit in there with those brethren that I felt to touch on. And I told them some of it would kind of connect with tonight. But it's one thing. Come on, be honest. Let's be real now. It's one thing to sit in here right now in the sanctuary, in the middle of a service, the presence of God, and say, I don't care about a position. I don't care about a title. I don't care about recognition. I don't care if anybody knows my name. We can all say that right here, right now. But what happens when you're laying in your bed at night? And the enemy comes in on your shoulder and says, you know what, so-and-so is always getting talked about how much God uses them. So-and-so's names always gets mentioned from the pulpit. And look at all that you do, and nobody ever knows your name. That's where the rubber meets. There's a whole, and I appreciate, you know anything about me. You know I love this place and what happens here. But there's a whole lot of things that are real easy to do here. When you get outside of here, they're not quite as easy to do. And I believe the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun, and that's the truth. But there are some things that have changed. There are some things that we are dealing with that haven't always been. I said it to the brethren downstairs. You know, if 20 years ago, if somebody on the worship team got off key and hit a bad note, the only people that knew it was the people in the church, in the service. Not anymore. It becomes viral videos. And the other side of that is we see people. I'll tell you something, there's no place in the kingdom of God for this celebrity status that we've created. And I'm just going to tell you, it's happening in the apostolic church. We're not sitting here pointing fingers at all the other churches. It happens in the apostolic movement. People get celebrity status. And then what happens is others feel like unless you somehow become that, you are not significant or important and your life doesn't matter. You, striving to be what I am, is not the epitome of success for you. Julian, if God calls you to be a pastor, please be a pastor. But if God decides that you were created to be something else, being what God created you to be is success. You striving to become what somebody else is because that seems successful, and if you happen to achieve that, but that's not who God created you to be, as much success as there may seem to be, you are a failure. The The goal is not to become who or what somebody else is. The goal is to become who did God intend for you to be in His body. If He intended you to be one of those 12 that are giving themselves to prayer and fasting, then please give yourself to prayer and fasting. But if God's decided for you to be one of those deacons that get anointed and you go out and you see miracles and signs and wonders, then just be who you're supposed to be and don't miss the significance. Not about those measurements of success that we've allowed to creep in. I said it recently. I'm not trying to be unkind to the person. If you weren't there, hopefully you don't know who. And if you were there, hopefully you forget who it was. But preach one of the nights at Youth Congress that tonight God's going to tell you your fivefold gifting. I don't believe that. I tell you what, what I can guarantee you God will do tonight. He'll call you to serve. He'll call you to serve. If you're more worried about the title you're going to get, then you just need to skip it because it's not about a title. Read Romans chapter 1. If I had $1,000 for every time I've referenced this in my ministry, I who knows what I could do. The Apostle Paul, as he is addressing the church at Rome, he identifies himself not as an apostle. He doesn't claim the title of apostle for what you are supposed to identify himself as. He says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Yes, called to be an apostle. But if you want to know how I see myself as a servant. That doesn't mean in an inferior way. It means I see myself as someone who is willing for God to use me wherever, whenever, however. I used it in a different context this morning, but I will use it again tonight in this context. One day last week, I had my casual winter coat, put my winter coat on, and I had stuck my wallet down in that coat. Later on, when I went to pull that wallet out later, I felt something else in there, felt what seemed like a piece of paper. I pulled it out, and there was a $10 bill. I know, that'll buy you half a cup of coffee at Starbucks. Isn't that awesome? And I'm pretty sure it had been in there since Christmas time when we had gone out as a family to do something outside and I had stuck some cash in my pocket. Somehow when I pulled the other cash out, it was still in there. So for 5+ weeks now, in the pocket of my coat, most of the time, hanging in the mudroom in my house was $10. I have a question. In those last 5 weeks, how much has the value of that $10 bill fluctuated in the mudroom in my coat pocket? Five plus weeks later, sitting in my coat, when I pulled that $10 bill out, Brother Tony, it was not now worth only a dollar. It was still $10. If you can't have the mindset that you are a servant of Jesus Christ, if He decides to stick you in His coat pocket for a while, and you seem to be forgotten about or hidden, if your worth and value comes from the role and the things you do, it's going to drive you crazy. This will probably be a miracle, but anybody got any cash on them? Anybody got some kind? Anybody got what do you have? Anybody got $10, a dollar, whatever? How old are you? 13? And you have cash on you? That's amazing. What you got on there, 20? I don't want anybody got a dollar. Let me have a dollar. I don't know. Anybody got a dollar?
I didn't know people 50 and under had cash anymore. I thought it was just us old people. You got a dollar? Thank you. I'm not going to keep it, but I don't. Oh, two. No, those are keepsakes, man. I'm not messing with it. There we go. Once again, a family member that has to love me. This is a pretty crisp $1 bill. I got a question. What's the value of that dollar bill? It's not as pretty, but it's still a dollar. If position, if visibility, notoriety is what gives you your worth and value, you're going to have some troubles along the way, because I can promise you, sometimes God's going to let you get crumpled up. And sometimes God's going to let you get thrown off to the side and forgotten about. And if the only way you can feel worthy and valuable and significance is based on what's happening and how God is using, you're going to be in great trouble. But if you can recognize, you know what, my worth and my value doesn't come from what I do. It doesn't come from the messages I preach. It doesn't come from the miracles that God does through me. But my value comes from this. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Your worth and your value doesn't come from how, where, when God uses you. Your worth and your value comes from who you are, a child of God. So being a servant is not about having some inferior position. It's just about acknowledging the fact that God has the right to use me when, where, how. Boy, this has taken a turn that I did not expect, but here we go. That's part of the reason why, as we transition into the later years of life, we have so much trouble letting go of ministry roles. Because we've come to be defined and find our value and our worth in the things that we do. And so it's tough to let go. Because I'm now letting go of my identity, my worth, my value. Let me tell you something. If you're in the NBA or the NFL or MLB and you can't perform anymore and you can't keep up anymore, then you're going to get discarded. But the kingdom doesn't work that way. Because one of the greatest challenges we all have to learn is, first and foremost, you as an individual in the kingdom of God, it's about being. It's not about doing. Are there things you should be doing in the kingdom? Yes. But you don't do them so that you can be something. You should be something and then do something. So that if the doing stops, you can still be. I had no intention of sharing this tonight, and I won't give any of the specifics, but I was in a text exchange with a precious elder in this congregation a couple days ago. As I say that, and I think if I'm not mistaken, biblically, I am now an elder, because if you're 50 and over, but I mean an older elder. And I guess it was just kind of in my mind, it was kind of in my spirit what we had communicated about. And one of those times where I was still kind of half asleep but starting to wake up a couple of mornings ago, the Lord just kind of dropped something into my spirit. And that was, you know what, in the later seasons of your place in the kingdom, you kind of become like a buoy. You've ever been out in the river or the bay or an ocean? There are buoys that are positioned. There's red ones, there's green ones, there's other ones. They stay in the same spot all the time. Beginning of January, when my wife and I went on a cruise, when we departed from the port, there was buoys that the ship traveled out in between. 5 days later, when we came back, guess what? They were still in the same exact spot. Because they were there to help provide guidance. They were there to be a point of reference for others that were traveling. There's some precious saints of God in this room tonight. That God's expectations of you are not for you to do in the same way you did 30, 40 years ago. And it's the enemy causing condemnation because you feel like you're supposed to still be doing what you used to do. I know it may not be the most glamorous thing in the world to compare you to. But there's nothing wrong for you to become a buoy. We got a younger generation that needs to be able to look at some buoys and say, you know what, I need to stay between there. Because if I get outside of that, there's some danger. If I stray too far over there, I might hit some rocks. I might hit the beach. And so the fact that all you can do, if I'm not mistaken, and if I am and you're the one, and you get offended, the Lord knew you needed to get offended, so you need to pray through. But if I'm not mistaken, these two folks right here are the longest standing members of Antioch. Currently, I think. There may be one or two others. There may be. I know Sister Krieger's been around a long time. So there may be. But I think there's hardly any. And I've been around here long enough to watch this man run the aisles, dance, shout as much as anybody in this room. He can't do it anymore. He's got faith that he'll be able to do it again. I know if God decides he can do it again. But you know what? If nothing else, let me tell you what we've got. We've got a reference point of stability and consistency that as a younger generation is trying to navigate the storms and the waves and the wind, we've got some reference points to be able to navigate by. Boy, this has gone so different than where I thought it was going, but oh well. I'm begging you elders tonight. It's not the first time, but I'm going to beg you again. Please don't take what you have to the grave with you. When it came time for Elijah to get caught up in that whirlwind, he didn't get a death grip on that mantle and say, "This is my mantle. It's going with me." He decided in advance by the direction of the Lord, "I'm going to find somebody to pass this mantle to." And some of you, I'm not trying to be mean, but some of you are sitting around and waiting for these young men and young women to come to you. I'm here tonight as the pastor to tell you, why don't you let God direct you to one of them? Because I can pretty much guarantee you there's a whole bunch of young men and young ladies sitting here that if some of you men and women of God, you elders of this congregation, came up to them and said, you know what, I got some stuff I'd like to pour into you. I'd like to spend some time with you. And I guarantee you there's a whole bunch of them that would jump at that opportunity in a heartbeat. It's the enemy that's got you paralyzed thinking that nobody wants what you have. Oh, my goodness. How did we? Rerouting. I don't care what role, position, title you have or don't have.
don't let the enemy diminish and minimize the ministry that you have as a saint. If God chooses to put you in another position, so be it. If God chooses to transition you into one of those that are giving themselves to prayer and fasting, that's fine. But if God decides for you to be a deacon like Philip and sends you out to do miracles, signs, and wonders, what else do you want? I believe one of the most important things in these last days and what God is going to do in these last days is going to be a willingness in the body to be content to let God do in us and through us whatever He wants and not worry about if anybody ever knows our name. I'm not saying this fishing for something. I'm telling you, I did not properly get across at Brother Ron Richards' celebration of life who he was and the things that God did through him. There are stories. I've heard him tell stories of things that God has done through him, did through him in his lifetime, that rival the stories of any man that stood in this pulpit. Any man. Ways God used him in places, how God used him, words God gave him for people, the way God directed him for people that rival anyone. A couple of you expressed it to me, but how many of you that were at Brother Richard's celebration of life service, you were just shocked when you saw that video of him? How many of you are like, what, that's Brother Richard? Yeah. Yeah. Do you know what? I believe there's people all over this room tonight that God is wanting to use you in just as significant of ways, but it can't be about your ego. It can't be about validating you. It can't be about recognition. It's got to be all about Him. I don't know if I'll read this whole chapter or not, but I if I'm not mistaken, I read this at the ministry day we did back in the fall for Antioch Central. But in the course of my reading several months ago, as I was reading through the epistles and reading through them in the Passion Translation, I got to the end of Romans, and Romans chapter 16 is really an amazing chapter to me. It's the last chapter of the book of Romans. There's some powerful, profound, significant revelations and principles that Paul gives all throughout the book of Romans. But in essence, the last chapter of the book of Romans is devoted to the Apostle Paul giving recognition and honor and appreciation for all kinds of saints who never wrote an epistle, who, other than the fact he mentions them in this chapter, their names may have never been known. Listen to just a little bit of it. I'll try not to read the whole chapter, but listen to a little bit of it. Again, this is the Passion Translation. Now, Romans 16 and 1. Now let me introduce to you our dear and beloved sister in the faith, Phoebe, a shining minister. And so for all of those of tonight that may be wondering, you know, well, Paul said for women to be silent, you need to understand there was some context to what Paul was saying there, because when you read what Paul is saying here, women were not some backseat in the church. I thought y'all ladies were to give me a little more love on that. I don't know if this is the Holy Ghost or flesh. I will tell you, it's 50-50 right now.
the fact that you're not supposed to be the back seat doesn't most mean you're supposed to take over.
Now let me introduce you to our dear and beloved sister in the faith, Phoebe, a shining minister. Now, one of the things I've come to really like about the Passion Translations is its footnotes, and I don't think they show up on the way this works, so you just have to bear with me for a moment. But the footnote here says it's shining minister or deaconess or servant, which would imply she may have held an office in the church. The name Phoebe means shining, radiant, bright, prophetic. It is likely that the church in Centria was a house church of the church in Centria. So it says that, without the footnote there, a shining minister of the church in Centria. I am sending her with this letter and ask that you shower her with your hospitality. This letter to the Romans that Paul sent, it was Phoebe. Sister Phoebe was the letter carrier for Paul. Not Timothy, not one of those other guys. Sister Phoebe. Pretty important job, don't you think? I am sending her with this letter, and I ask that you shower her with your hospitality when she arrives. Embrace her with honor as is fitting for one who belongs to the Lord and is set apart for Him. So provide her whatever she may need, for she's been a great leader and champion. The Greek word here is prostasis, means, this is another footnote, the one who goes first. A leading officer presiding over many. A protecting patroness who oversees the affairs of others. A champion defender. It is clear that Phoebe was considered a leader, a champion, a heroic woman who was most likely quite wealthy and brought blessing to others. The term implies a great status and denotes a high position in the church. Paul honors a total of 37 people in this last chapter of Romans. Their names have gone down in church history as wonderful servants of Jesus. Their names are recorded for eternity here in God's eternal word. Church history stated that most of those named were martyred for their faith. Imagine dear Sister Phoebe carrying with her a letter to Rome that contained the greatest wealth of Christian theology. A copy of that letter she carried is the letter you and I are now reading. For many, Paul says, I know, for she's been that for even me. Paul, the great apostle, acknowledges that he could not, would not be who he was without people like Phoebe. I read on just for a couple of verses. Give my love to Prisca and Aquila, which is Priscilla and Aquila in the King James. She and her husband Aquila were tent makers like Paul. They were not only business partners, but partners with him in ministry. My partners in ministry, serving the anointed one Jesus, for they've risked their own lives to save mine. I'm so thankful for them, and not just I, but all the congregations among the non-Jewish people respect them for their ministry. Also, give my loving greetings to all the believers in their house church, and greet Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in the Roman province of Asia, for I love him dearly. And give my greetings to Miriam, who has toiled and labored extremely hard to benefit you. Make sure that my relatives Andronicus and Junia are honored, for they're my fellow captives who bear the distinctive mark being outside and well-known apostles. What Paul is saying here, give honor, recognize these two people, because they were, I'm understanding what he's saying, that they were prisoners with me. We talk about Paul. We talk about Paul being shipwrecked. We talk about Paul being imprisoned. But Paul says at the close of this letter to the church at Rome, I want to make sure you know about some really important people, that while I acknowledge God may have used me to write this letter to you, I need you to know the significant contribution that they have made.
I'll stop there. You can read it later. If you go on, you can go on, I think it's Bible.org, if I'm not mistaken, but you can get all kinds of translations on there for free, and you can read through there, and you can read the footnotes, because for most of the people named here, it gives some kind of an idea of who they were. For several of these people in the rest of this chapter, it says that they were thought to be one of the 70 that Jesus sent out. We know the names of the 12, but we don't know the names of the 70. But Paul is saying, I believe some of you have acknowledged it already, and I think there's probably some that have yet to realize it or acknowledge it. I believe there are church planters in this congregation. I believe there are people that God has called to go places where there's no church, and He's called you to go there and be a part of building a church. I believe that with all of my heart. Again, some of you that have already acknowledged that, and some of you that have yet to acknowledge it. Maybe it's just because God hasn't told you yet, but it's coming. If God's called you to do that, please do that. Please do it with all your heart, and know that if God's called you to do it, God's going to bless you. God's going to use you. I hope and pray that Brother and Sister Grossbach and Brother and Sister Hemus are not the last missionaries to go out of Antioch. Brother and Sister Grossbach, 30 years in Africa. Brother and Sister Hemus, 20 plus years now in England. Of course, I guess you could add in Patrick and Matthew, who are now moving into a role of ministry. I hope and pray that's not the last missionaries that God will send from Antioch Central. There's been some that have gone out in the past from Antioch that were full-time evangelists, as we call them in the organization. They traveled around preaching from churches to churches. We've got people that do that some now, and there may be others. But what if God has called you to be one of those people in Romans 16? It's not to go out. It's not to be known. It's not to have everybody recognize you for all the great things God did. But what if God's just called you? God's decided He wants you to be one of those support people, that your contribution is more behind the scenes. Not everybody knows it, but it's no less important. If God's called you to be an apostle, be an apostle. But if God's called you to be a deacon, and I don't mean right now in the context of just a small group leader deacon, I mean that kind of that role. If that's what God's called you to do, it's not because He's called you to something lesser. I want you to bow your head, close your eyes for a moment if you would. I want to give an invitation right now. I think there's some of you here. I want to invite you to maybe to get out of your seat, and what you need to come do is come say, God, whatever role, if you want to call me to be one of those 12 disciples, 12 apostles, or you want to call me to be a deacon, if you want to call me to be Paul, or you want to call me to be one of those people in Romans 16 that Paul references because of what they did, but other than that, we don't really know anything about them. They didn't write any books of the Bible. They didn't do anything like that, but their value to the kingdom, their value to Paul was immeasurable. I think there's some people here tonight that maybe it's the first time, or maybe you've said it before, but just once again, you need to come and say, God, whatever you want me, that's what I want. So that's one thing I want to invite some of you to come do, but I want to invite others of you, and maybe some of you that are already coming, this will apply to you as well, but I want to invite some others that maybe you need God to give you a revelation and an understanding of the significance of the role, the position He's called you to. That maybe your ministry is kind of in that category of the ministry of the saints. The things that the saints do, the way God uses the saints. But you need God. You want God.
to give you a revelation and an understanding, and so that you can be at peace. God, whatever it is you've called me, whatever it is you want me to be, not only do I accept that, but I believe that it's because it's what you call, because it's what you've decided, that means it's valuable, that means it's significant. Lord, from a human perspective, it may seem to be less than some other things. It from a human perspective, it may seem to be inferior to some other things, but if it's where you've placed me, if it's what you've called me to do, Lord, then that means it's valuable. That means it's significant. I appreciate all that have come, but I believe there's a few more of you that need to respond as well. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God, I pray that there would be revelation that would rest upon some minds here tonight. Those, Lord, that perhaps the enemy has battled. Those that the enemy has tried to beat down, Lord, with accusations and minimizing the value and the significance of where you've placed them. God, let there be. There be a revelation that comes. Wherever it is, whatever it is you've called us, placed us to be, that's what's success. It's not a title, it's not a position, it's not simply striving to become what somebody else is that we want to be. It's simply trying to become who it is that you have called us to be. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. If you don't feel like you need to respond for yourself tonight, then would you be willing to be sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord? Maybe in the context of some of what I preached here tonight, there's a number of younger people down here, young adults, maybe. Maybe some of you precious elders can come and let there be a transference of some things.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use.
In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.
If you can use anything, Lord.
Lord, I believe there's Stevens and there's Phillips, there's Phoebes that are in this place tonight. Many that are already acting and operating in those roles, in those places, others that you're calling, but also many, Lord, that need to be at peace with that, need to be content. Wherever you want to use me, however you want to use me, you can do it, God.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Whatever role you've got for me, God. If you've got a title and a position,
my heart, Lord, speak,
here I am. If what you've called me to do and where you want me may not have a title to it, may not seem to be a position, as long as it's where you want me to be, God, as long as I'm doing what you want me to do, God, I will be content. I want to be a servant. God, no matter what role you may use me in, I want to be able to do what Paul is and continue to recognize that first and foremost, I'm a servant for you to use, for you to sin, for you to do with, however you choose. No qualifications on it, God. No requirements, no stipulations, God. Not going to put any stipulations on how or where or what you can use me for.
Take my hands, Lord, take my feet.
In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.
Lord, speak through me. You can use anything, Lord. You can use me.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Anything,
Lord, you can use me.
Take my hands. Take my feet. Touch my heart, Lord. Whatever you want. Whatever you desire. Not my will, but your will, Lord.
If you can use anything, Lord.
Not my will, your will. Not my plans, your plans. Not my visions, God, your visions.
My hands, Lord, take my feet. Touch my heart.
In the name of Jesus. Karamandolo Bosheki Yalala Mahaya. Yalala Mando Robo Satala.
You can use anything, Lord. You can use
Jesus.
Me.
You can in the name of Jesus.
Anything, Lord, you can use me.
In the name of Jesus. Take my hands,
take
Lord.
My hands, Lord.
Take my feet, Lord.
My heart, Lord,
touch my heart, Lord.
You can use
oh, you can use me, Lord. You can use me, Lord. In the name of Jesus.
You can use anything, Lord. You can use me.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Oh, if you can use anything, Lord. My hands, Lord, take my feet.
Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord,
you can use me.
Oh, if you can
use anything, Lord,
use me, Jesus. Use me, Jesus.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Oh, take my heart.
Hands, Lord, take my feet.
Hallelujah.
Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything,
oh,
Lord,
you can use me. Hallelujah.
Use anything, Lord.
Yalala boko shata ramanda yalala. Open our eyes, God, to see clearly. Open our eyes to see correctly. Lord, not through the filters the enemy places on our eyes. Not with the perceptions the enemy tries to give us, but let us see properly according to your word, according to the principles of your word. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.
You can use anything, Lord, you can
use
me.
Oh, yes.
Take my hands, Lord, take my feet.
Touch my heart, Lord.
Touch my heart, Lord,
speak
through
me. If
you can
use
anything, Lord, you can use me.
Oh. Can use
anything, Lord. You can use.
You can use me, Jesus. You can use me, Jesus.
You can use anything, Lord. You can use me.
Oh, take my heart, Lord.
Take my hands, Lord. Take my feet.
Touch my heart, Lord.
Touch my heart, Lord. Speak through
me. Oh, if you
can
use anything.
Lord, you can use me.
You can use anything,
Lord.
If you need to go or want to go, you're welcome to whenever. Holy Ghost is still ministering and working in this place.
Anything, Lord, you can use me.
Oh, take my hands.
Take my hands, Lord. Take my feet.
Touch my heart, Lord.
Touch my heart, Lord. Speak.
If you can
use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Oh,
you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.